Very good morning to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to encourage our own hearts. Psalms are testimonies of God's grace and God's mercies in our lives. Hymns are sung to adore and to praise and to magnify the one living and true God. And spiritual songs are to bless and to encourage our hearts, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. When we do this consistently and daily, please realize and understand that giving thanks will be the result. What does it mean to give thanks? Literally, the word give thanks means good gratitude. Giving thanks is not something that we do regularly. The reason is we often take things for granted. And because we regularly take things for granted, perhaps the time that we realize that we should thank this person or to thank someone for something done is when that person is taken away from us. When the loss is experienced, then we begin to chastise ourselves. Why didn't I appreciate this person more? Why did I not show an extra ounce of gratitude and thanksgiving for what this person has done in my life? I quarreled with my older sister before she flew off to Paris on a job assignment. And perhaps because of the quarrel, for whatever reason, I was not there to send her off at the airport. My brothers and sisters did. I did the last time. She went overseas quite often because of her job. But this time it was very different, and this time it will stay in my heart for the rest of my life. Because on this particular trip, which I had a quarrel with her before she left, she did not come back alive. We had to go to the luggage section to collect her coffin. She passed away. The Lord took her home when she was in Paris. The doctors misdiagnosed her condition. She had serious abdominal pain. They thought it was gastric. They sent her home. By the time they found out that it was the intestine that had ruptured, it was too late. She died of blood poisoning. And I will regret not sending her off. I will regret not thanking her for all the things that she has done in my life until she was gone. This regret will remain in my heart forever. She was the first one in our family to accept Christ. She was the first one to give me my Bible. She was the one who helped me after I became a Christian in my early days when I was troubled by many issues. She was my counselor. She did many things for us because she was the first one to work hard together with my older sister. And then she gave money to my mom in order to support us, younger ones, through our university education. She did a lot of things for us. After she was gone, then I begin to appreciate her more. Why can't we fill our hearts with good gratitude toward people while they are alive, while they are with us, where we can say thank you to them sincerely with all our heart? No flattery, no hidden agenda. Truly thank them and thank God for each and every one of them, for what they have contributed to shape us, to mold us, to help us to be who we are today. Why is that so difficult for us to do, that God has to give us a clear instruction to tell us, not only in this epistle, but in other epistles, to give thanks always? Not just giving thanks, but to give thanks always. Because when it comes to giving thanks, we are very selective and we are very careful in showing our gratitude. If there are certain things that we want very much, and when we get them, oh, we are very thankful. That kind of thanksgiving, we all know how to do because we have been longing for that promotion, longing for that bonus. We have been longing for that thing, whether it is an object or some other intangible thing, like a promotion. And then we get them. You don't have to ask anyone to tell us to give thanks. We will know how to give thanks because of this longing that we have. But God says, do not only stop with giving thanks for things that you long for, but to give thanks always, consistently. The moment you wake up, have a mind of good gratitude, thankful heart. There's so many things, if we are sensitive to what we are and what we have, that we ought to thank God for. And to thank the person for what that person has done in our lives. Don't take anything or anyone for granted. That's the problem with this world and with our lives, even as Christians, that God has to give us reminders like this again and again to learn to give thanks, to show gratitude. Thank God for waking you up. Do not assume that when you go to bed last night that you were not in any danger. You were dead to this world for the past 5, 6, 7, 8 hours. How long were you asleep? Our God never slumbers, never sleeps. He continued to watch over us while we were sleeping. The moment you wake up, thank God for watching over us when we were sleeping. Thank God for a new day. Thank God for life. Thank God for spouse. Thank God for children. Thank God for mom and dad. Thank God for the privilege of witness and service. Be a very, very thankful person. Don't take anyone for granted. Simple little things. Be grateful, be thankful. The person you meet who sweeps your HDB flat or block outside, who throws the rubbish for you, who pick up all the things that people throw on the ground, that they keep it clean. See them, thank them. The elderly person who comes and take away your utensils after a meal at the hawker center, do you say a word of thank? The person who comes and opens the gantry for you as you enter your condominium, do you say a word of thank? Many things that we take for granted have caused us to forget that we are a people who depend a lot of people in our lives in order for our lives to go through day after day after day after day. Instead of murmuring and complaining, very good in murmuring and complaining, finding fault, very good. We are very good in finding fault. Don't have to teach people to find fault, because a person who is thanksgiving, who is continue to give thanks, he will not have time to find fault. A person who does not like to give thanks are people who are fault finders. Who is perfect? No one. You can find fault with anything and everyone. The sun is shining. Oh yeah, too hot, Lord, too hot. Too hot. And God sent the rain. Oh yeah, rain, I'm moody, always no sun. Right? You want to find fault, you can find fault anything and everything. Aircon, is it comfortable enough or too cold? Too warm? Tell brother Atu, too warm, turn it up. Then another person, too cold, bring it down. And then Atu will go in, out, hot, cold, too hot. You want to find fault? Anything you can find fault. A person who continues to give thanks. And God says to Christians in particular, not to unbelievers, for Christians, imagine if you are a child of God and each time you open your mouth, it is nothing but murmuring and complaining. You look at Israel. They just came out of a life of bondage, albeit into the wilderness. But in the wilderness, they were surrounded by the presence of God, the visible presence of God through the pillar of cloud by day to shield them from the hot sun of the desert. And then at night, when the temperature becomes very cold, the pillar of cloud turned to a pillar of fire to keep them warm. They witnessed the presence of God through these pillars, and yet they still have time to murmur and complain. Like us. Are you the kind of person who is very good in finding fault? Find fault with the government. Find fault with everyone who is your appointed ruler. Everyone on top of you, find fault. Please, God says, give thanks always. That means when you give thanks all the time, your fault finding will stop immediately. You have no time to find fault. You will learn to see the kindness and the goodness in others. You will learn to see the kindness and the goodness, the grace and the mercies of God in your life around you. Easy to complain about the government. Anybody can do that. Don't like the COE, don't like the ERP, don't like this, don't like this, don't like that. Easy. You tell me which government is perfect. No one except Christ in the millennium. Even if you give man a perfect system, the fact is that when man runs a perfect system and that man is not perfect, a perfect system will still be ruined. Which prime minister, which president is perfect? Zero. You're going to find fault? Easy. See the world with the eyes that God wants us to see. Give thanks always, please. Thank God for this country. Thank God for the freedom of worship. Thank God that we have peace. Thank God for safety. Thank God that we can use our might and our strength in our economy to extend God's kingdom in many countries, including first world countries. Thank God for all these instead of bickering, murmuring, and complaining. Because a person who is bickering, murmuring, and complaining would be a person who will not bother to help and do anything in God's kingdom. He'll be so absorbed in himself. And people around him, because of his murmuring and complaining, will also be infected by his murmurs and complaints. That's why if a person is murmuring and complaining all the time, stay away from such person if you don't want to end up a murmurer and a complainer yourself. If you are a person who continues to learn to give thanks, to be filled with a good gratitude, you will also infect people with a good sense of thankfulness. The decision is yours. You are a child of God, remember. And as a child of God, just imagine what your children, what your friends, what unbelievers will notice in your life if you keep on murmuring and finding fault and complaining. And then you tell people about Christ. You tell people about you have been saved from sin, death, and hell. And then you murmur and complain, and you probably murmur and complain more than him. And he is not going to heaven. He is still going to hell. He is in spiritual darkness, dead in sin, and he complains less than you. You just imagine what kind of image and impact when you share the gospel with this person and the person look at you, you are nothing but a murmurer and a complainer. You think he will accept the gospel? Why do people murmur and complain? Because they can't get what they want. Because they are not happy, because they want this, they want that, and they don't get it. That is our problem. That is the root cause of our problem, because we do not surrender our lives to Christ. When you and I are Christians, when you and I become Christians, what it means if you are truly born again in Christ is a total, unconditional surrender of every part of our lives, every area of our lives to God. That's what it means to be a Christian. You cannot hold any part back. That means your life is no longer your own to decide what you ought to do with it. Your mind is no longer allowed to think whatever you want to think. Your desires are no longer your own to desire what you want for yourself and for your family, for your job and for your children. No longer yours. That right has been taken away from you when you surrender your life to God. And you put your life into His hands, and now all you need to do is to ask God, what do you want me to do with my life? And God will show it to you, and as you are shown by God, then everything that comes into your life, whether you like it or not, whether you enjoy it or not, whether it is painful or not, giving thanks always will be the result. And therefore, a person who does not give thanks always, conversely, will be a person who has not totally surrendered his life to the Lord. He still wants to control certain parts of his own life. He still wants to relate to his spouse or in the way that he wants. And that's why God later on will tell us, wives, you submit to your own husband. You don't relate to your husband any way you like. You have no right to, as a Christian wife, unless you're not a Christian. But if you are a Christian wife, you learn to give thanks for your husband. The Bible here did not say, wives, submit to your Christian husband. Because there are many of us who became believers after you were married. And when you were married, both of you were not believers. And God in His grace and mercy saved you first. And therefore God says, you learn to submit to your own husbands. But what if the husband is unreasonable? Then you do so as unto the Lord. You do it because you are doing it for the Lord's sake, not for His sake. And therefore you do it happily, cheerfully. That's what God says. And when you learn to do all these things, husband, love your wives. Children, honor your parents in the Lord. Parents, do not provoke your children. All these, when you follow the word of God, giving thanks always will be the natural, logical outcome. But when you want to challenge God and do things your way, the problems will be manifested. And the symptom, murmur, complain. Do not give thanks always. You give thanks only what you like, what you long for. And when you do not get them and things do not come your way, you murmur. And God says, give thanks always. Are you about to murmur and complain? God says, you give thanks always. You look at your life. Because the scope of giving thanks always has to be in all things. You cannot give thanks always in most things, in some things. Because then the word always will not apply. When God says giving thanks always in all things, that means there are many things in your life. Everything that happened, you have to learn to give thanks. Should I give thanks for the time in my life before my conversion? You may ask. Should I now give thanks always in all things only from the time of my conversion onwards? Let's say if I accepted Christ at the age of 25. Should I give thanks to God for the first 25 years of my life? Or should I only give thanks to God from the 25 years after? Since then only I have accepted Christ. You and I must learn to give thanks always for all things. All things include all things past, all things present, and all things future. That's what all things mean. It's not all things only after salvation. All things, that means who your parents were, how you were brought up, whether you face a difficult upbringing or a painful past, whatever the condition, you must learn to thank God. That's what all things means. All things present would include everything in your life, including cancer, including the loss of loved ones. You have to give thanks for all things. That's what it means. There is no thing in your life that is excluded in this word, all things. Not all things you like. All things literally means all things. You mean I have to learn to thank God for cancer? You mean I have to learn to thank God when my dad passed away when I was only 2 years old? You mean I have to learn to thank God when my son was taken from me when he was only 6 years old because of a car accident? You mean I have to thank God for the loss of a limb, for the loss of a job? Yes, God says that's what it is, all things. Hard to accept? Very hard to accept. But it is not hard when you have surrendered your life to the Lord. Because Jesus promised us, take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The key is take my yoke, not your own. You and I have this desire to define and make up our own yoke. We want to define and make up the kind of witness we want God to give to us. God says, no, I decide what your yoke is. I decide the cross you ought to carry. I decide, not you, not any man. Why? Because I know better than you, God says. I know your beginning, I know your present, and I know your eternity. You don't. If I were to let you take charge of your own witness and your own way of testifying for Christ, you're going to mess it up. Because what you desire, most of the time will not end up good for you. It will only bring shame to the name of Christ, and it will result in transgression in your life. But if you were to trust God, when God says all things, submit to Him. Don't murmur and complain because you have cancer and your children are young. I will not see them grow up. And therefore you get angry and you get upset and you murmur and complain all the time. God says, that will not be good for you and for your children. Please realize and understand that our children are not ours. They are called gifts from God. They belong to God. We are only custodian. We are only stewards. God has entrusted our children to us to bring them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. God doesn't need us to bring them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord. Please understand this. We need Him. And therefore, if God says, I have given you these gifts, you are to bring them up in the fear and nurture of the Lord, and if it is time for you to come home to me when they are 6 years old, when they are 10 years old, when they are 4 years old, whatever age, God knows what is best for them. God knows that if God takes you home when they are 10 years old, God will make sure that you do your best for the first 10 years of their young life. And then when God takes you home, the father, the mother, or even both parents, God will still take care of them. They are God's gift, God's children. Please realize and understand this. And so therefore, if you are that child, and then later on when you grow up at the age of 25, you accepted Christ, and then you lost your parents when you were 10 years old, you learn to give thanks to God for that as well. Just as the parents learn to thank God for 10 years that they could have impacted your life. Thank God for the 10 years that God have given to you to experience parenthood, to bring the child up to that age of 10 years. You look at parents. Many parents have many years with their children. But you look at their children. They mess it up. And because of their carnality, because of the parents' waywardness, the children are stumbled by the parents' failures over and over again. And now the children hate Christ because of mom and dad. You just imagine. If not for mom and dad, they would not hate Christ. Because of mom and dad, now they hate Christ. So just because you are around to see your children grow up 20, 30 years, 40 years of their lives, and you just simply mess it up. And then when they look at your life, they do not see Christ in mom and dad. And all they see is just one humongous, gigantic stumbling block. So what's the point? What is the point of remaining on earth and stumble your own children now that they are grown up and they hate Christ because of you? And you know when they hate Christ, what will happen to them? They will die in their sin and they will end up in hell. And so therefore, when you want to have a longer time with your son, your daughters, you ask yourself one simple question. What is the purpose? What is the reason? What is your motive? Is this selfish? Is it because I want to? I want to walk them down the aisle? I want to see them get married? Or is it because, Lord, use me. Use me as a father and a mother to be a godly witness to my son, to my daughter. Because I want them to see Christ. I want them to become Christians. And then after they become Christians, I want to participate in directing them and guiding them to discover God's will, your will for them. By all means. Why would God not answer that prayer? But if you want to remain on earth and you're going to be a carnal Christian to them and you're going to ruin their lives for eternity, do you want to stay behind and do such a thing to your own children? That's why when God teaches us to learn to give thanks always for all things, that is a heart of obedience. That is a Christian's desire. Why would you not want to give thanks always for all things? Because it is to give thanks always for all things to whom? To God. That's what it says. Why did the apostle Paul say to God and Father? Isn't to Father or to God one mention is enough? Why did he say to God? Because God is an emphasis of his power. Father is an emphasis of the personal relationship between the person and God. He is not just God. He is also your heavenly Father. That's what it means. That's why both are mentioned for that emphasis. Why God? To let us know that he is sovereign. To let us know that he is all-powerful, all-knowing, and he makes no mistakes. And so if God says, I want this particular Christian in this particular time of his or her life to go through cancer, and this cancer will take his life, will take her life, will this person during the next few months or maybe years in her or his life continue to bear a godly witness, or will this person murmur all the way until the person is called home? Which do you think will have the greater impact and effect for Christ? The murmur will stumble. The thanksgiving will enhance. Because any one of us can learn to give thanks when we are healthy. But when you are crippled, when you are sick with cancer, and you continue to rejoice and thank God that God still gives me 3 more months, that God still gives me another 6 months, whatever the time, you thank God for that, and you learn that during this period, when you rejoice evermore, the impact and the power of your testimony will far exceed that if you were healthy. Isn't that true? The Apostle Paul wrote this when he was in prison. This is a prison epistle. He wrote Philippians, also in prison. When he said to us, in everything give thanks, for all things. He was languishing in prison. If he was languishing on the beach of Hawaii, sipping a cool glass of lemonade, and then he says, give thanks always for all things. Sure, in front of Hawaii, wearing a Hawaii shirt, sipping your nice, cool lemonade, anybody can give thanks. Watching the beautiful sunset, and behind you have your multi-million dollar bungalow with a humongous swimming pool and a beautiful fountain and a pristine landscape garden. And then you say, give thanks always for all things. Who can't? But was he enjoying a beautiful sunset, seated in front of a multi-million bungalow? He was in prison. Rat infested, cold, shivering, dark and filthy, not knowing whether he will have another day tomorrow. And when he says, giving thanks always for all things to God. Why? Because he understands the sovereignty of God in his life. That from the day he was born, God had been shaping and molding his life. That's why when the Bible tells us all things means all things. From the moment you are born, you learn to give thanks for your mom and for your dad. You learn to give thanks to God for your birth. Whether you are born a Chinese, a Caucasian, or an Indian, or whatever your nationality, God was in control. God was in control in which century you are born. You were not born in the time of Martin Luther. You could not do what Martin Luther did, just as Martin Luther cannot do what you can do now. Our time on this earth, at what period of our time, what century, it's all in God's hands. Your past is in God's hands. Your present continues to be in God's hands. The only difference is, before you were converted, you and I were completely ignorant. We were oblivious that God was directing our lives. Now that we are born again in Christ, now we have conscious cognizance of what God is doing in my life on a day-to-day basis. That's the only difference. God had always been in control of your life, molding you, shaping you from the moment you begin to exist in your mother's womb. He knows. That's why whatever painful past you and I may have experienced, and all of us will have, it's only a matter of degree. Learn to give thanks also for your past upbringing, so that there will be no bitterness against anyone. In the past, we have hurt you. I can never forget what my aunties did. When they promised my dad when he passed away that they would take care of my mom and all of us. A few months after that, the house was sold and we have to look for a place to rent and to stay. My mom looked after us. She was not working. So whatever savings she had, she used it to look after us. I see my aunties once a year during Chinese New Year. And every time I see them, that knowledge will come to the fore. I will remember what they did. But the moment I put the God in the equation, the moment I put the presence of God in the equation, what happened to my dad? Why God allow what they did to my mom and to all of us? The bitterness disappears. Because God was the one who allowed all these things to happen. And God used all these things to shape and mold all of us, my brothers and my sisters, including me, including my mom. Thank God that my mom came to know Christ before the Lord took her home. There was no accident when the Lord took home my sister. My mom shared that when she was given the gospel, she said, if I do not accept Christ, I know I will die and end up in hell, be with my dad. I know that if I accepted Christ, I will die and I will go home to be with the Lord and see my daughter, my sister. She loved my sister very much. My sister was the best of all of us. She was very diligent, very hardworking, very obedient. And she helped us the most when we were not able to help ourselves. And so my mom loved her very much. Then my mom said that she wanted to be with my sister. There are no accidents in our lives. Because if you say there are accidents in our life, basically you're implying that God is not all-powerful. That God sometimes, somehow, he has gone to sleep. And something happened in your life and in my life that he was not aware of, and he was caught off guard. You think God ever allow himself to be caught off guard in looking after all his millions and millions of children all over the world throughout the ages? You think there is a God who can go to sleep and just suddenly, this person, for that slight second, I daydream and then God forgot. You think God is like that? When God promised us that even the hairs on your head are numbered, do you know what that means? What it means is that I am so near you, I'm so concerned for your life that even when the hair on your head keeps changing, every moment one hair falls off, another hair grows, and that number keeps changing all the time. That's how intimate God wants us to know his care for his children is. Do you know whether your hair goes, falls off or grows? There's nothing you can do and you don't care for that number. Do you care for that number? How many thousands of hair you have? How many hundreds and thousands of hair you have on your head? Every moment of every day, it keeps changing because some will fall, some will grow, some will fall, some will... The number keeps changing all the time. And God says, every time it changes, I know. That's how intimate God wants us to know his care for his children. You and I have everything to thank God for, including the adverse times as well as the happy times, the painful times, the sorrowful times. Young people, when you have a relationship with another young person, we want it to work. But there will be times it may not work. And if both of you are in the church, and if it does not work, and you are the one who has feelings for the person who says, I'm sorry, we can't work, and you get hurt, what are you going to do? You're going to be very angry with God or with that person? Or will you see the hand of God in that relationship? And because God's hand is in that relationship, God used that person to develop and help you grow and mature in your emotional quotient. So that in future, God will now prepare another person for you that will be your proper God-appointed helper, meet for you, suitable for you. So God used your other painful relationships to shape you and to mold you to become who you are. Don't be angry with that person. You should thank God for that person for hurting you, to help you grow emotionally. So that now you are mature enough emotionally, then God bring this person whom God has chosen for your life. No accidents. But if you are still bitter and you're still bickering and see that person and you're still angry with that person, then you cannot give thanks always for all things. Why? Because you have taken God out of that equation. But when God is in that equation, you will see and understand. There are no mistakes. No mistakes. The moment you say it is a mistake, you murmur, you complain, you are basically pointing a finger at God to say that God has gone to sleep in your life for that particular period or moment. And that's why you are hurt. Adverse times are painful times. Giving thanks does not mean that you ignore the pain, that you do not weep, you do not cry, you do not experience sorrow. You still do. But you learn in your own heart to thank God for them. Because the moment you thank God for them, you have no room for murmurs. Because murmuring is a transgression. Complaining is a sin. Please realize this. Learn to give thanks to God. Why? Because He's all powerful. And not only is He all powerful, God tells us He is your Father. He is your Heavenly Father. You know God as your Heavenly Father because He is now your Heavenly Father. When you were once His enemy, now you have been adopted into His family. You think God is a derelict father? Like us? We are derelict fathers. We all need to change and improve as fathers. We all have past regrets. You ask every father, please, as a father, do you have any past experiences in bringing up your children that you would want to relive and redo and improve? Everyone, guarantee everyone, if they're honest, they will say yes. And the list will not be short. I wish I have done this better. I wish I have done that better. All of us have, but not God. God as our Heavenly Father, He doesn't slumber. When He sees us stray away, He will chastise us. He promised us that because He wants us to stop sinning. He wants all of us to be better Christians and better believers. That's what God wants. And He is not a derelict father. That's why God used God and Father to remind us. He is all powerful and He has this personal relationship and He always watches over His children. And if you have to lose your job, learn to thank God for the loss of job because He has something better for you that you are not aware of at this point of your life. But you must trust Him. Loss of health? Fine. Loss of health, it's also fine. Whatever it is, you must learn to see the hand of God, and not only the hand of God, but the hand of a loving Heavenly Father. He loves us. He cares for us. Whatever that we have on this earth, please look at your life with God's eyes. And God's eyes is this. The moment you are in your mother's womb, please understand that you are going to be an eternal being. The difference is, are you going to spend eternity in hell or in heaven? Now, if you are going to spend eternity in heaven, this is how you must look at your life as a child of God, with a loving Heavenly Father. I'm going to have eternity in the presence of God Almighty. The question is this, how much of my eternity will be in the presence of God Almighty in heaven, and how much of it in the presence of God Almighty on earth? That's how you must look at your life now. Either way, it is in the presence of God. It's either on earth or in heaven. Always in the presence of God. Don't ever forget that. And if the doctor says to you, you have 3 more months to live, you have 6 more months to live, whatever the time, because you have been afflicted with a disease that is not curable, you thank God. Thank God that God has given you advance notice. Advance notice of how much time you have on earth. Because there are many of us who have not been given advance notice, and because we have not been given advance notice, and we think we're going to live for the next 20, 30, 40 years, we are very playful with the way that we spend our time. We do not redeem our time. We do not learn to sing praise and hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. We do not provoke one another unto love and to good deeds. We continue to go and do whatever we want. We think that we have many more years on this earth. And then suddenly all is gone. You did not know that this morning when you wake up will be your final morning. But the person has been told by the doctors, by the will of God, 6 more months, that person will make sure that he or she will cherish every minute of every day with loved ones, with friends. That person has been given advance notice. Remember, he will always be in the presence of God. The difference is on earth or in heaven. Remember that as children of God, because that's exactly what this verse tells us. Learn to give thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only for believers. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means because you are a Christian. Because of what Jesus Christ has done for you in your life. To know that all your sins have been forgiven. The penalty of death and hell has been completely taken away from you as the children of God. You don't die anymore. For us, death is sleeping. It is graduation. It is going home. It is to change a place of service on earth into a place of service in heaven. That's what happens now for all believers. And that's why we have everything on earth to give thanks to God for. Because it's either in the presence of God in heaven or in the presence of God on earth. So you have to make sure of one thing and one thing in your life. Are you truly born again in Christ? Are you truly born again in Christ? Do you really have Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior? And if you truly have accepted Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you have to be honest with your own soul. Then stop murmuring. Give thanks always for all things. To God who saved you. To the Father who has now turned you from an enemy into His child. And you do so because you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. That's what it means. Because this is an instruction that God did not ask any unbeliever to do because it's impossible. However, this is an instruction that God knows every child of His can do and must do. Because they carry with them the image of Jesus Christ, and the world needs to see a Christian who learns to give thanks always because he knows that his Heavenly Father, who is God Almighty, makes no mistakes in his life. That he is always sovereign and he is always all-powerful and he is unchanging, immutable. And because I know him and I know that he doesn't make mistakes, that whatever lot I'm going through in this life, if I'm in sin, I know He will chastise me to stop me from sinning because that will be good for me. So that I will sin less and glorify Him more and live a holy life more and stop sinning because He loves me. Just like a loving father will discipline the child and stop the child from sinning. A father who continues to reward the son or the daughter for telling lies. He is a terrible father. You think God will do that to us? No. When you are in sin, He tells us, I can't even hear your prayers. I will not hear your prayers because if I do, then I will encourage you to regard iniquity in your heart. And so he tells us, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I will not hear your prayers. I will not break off the relationship. You will still be my child. But I can't hear your prayers. I can't answer any of your prayers if you hold on to sin in your life and you do not get rid of sin. And so God wants us to get rid of sin so that he can hear our prayers again. And so he gave us that revelation in Psalm 66 verse 18. He wants the best for us. Commit your life to Him. Put your life into the hand of your loving Heavenly Father, every part of it. Husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, your work, your school work, your service in church, every area of your life, you put it into the hand of a loving Heavenly Father. That's what it means by being filled with the Holy Spirit, where the Spirit of God will guide and lead every area of your life. And then speaking to yourself with hymns and spiritual songs and psalms, all these things will become a natural experience. You will be so joyful and happy in your soul, regardless of the external circumstances in life, whether in sickness or in health, for richer, for poorer, it does not matter. Because Because you are a child of God. And that enables you to give thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So have you accepted Christ as Lord and as Savior with all your heart? And if that is your experience with all your heart, then this is what God asks of you. Give thanks always, because you can and you should. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee, O Lord, for Thy patience and for Thy long-suffering in dealing with all of us. For as we live on this earth, teach us daily to surrender our all to Thee and to trust Thee and to know that there are no accidents in the lives of all Your children. Help us, O Lord, to make sure of our salvation, that we are truly sons and daughters of the Most High God, that we have truly, with all our heart, unconditionally accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, and He who rose from the dead for our justification. And this life is no more our own to live, but it must now be a life that must be lived to the praise and glory of Thy holy name. We pray, Father, for some in our midst who may still be outside Christ. O Lord, may Thou be merciful and cause this person to realize and understand how grave a danger he has found himself to be in, so close and so near to salvation in Christ, and yet did not want to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and as Savior. Be merciful to such a soul, O Lord, and cause this person to realize how much he has sinned against Thee and how he is now bound for death and hell if he were not to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might. Hear us, O Lord, to those who are Your children. May Thy word and Thy Holy Spirit speak to our hearts, that whatever lot and experience we may be going through right now, teach us sincerely to give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy goodness, for Thy grace, and for Thy mercies toward us, and the blessed hope of the resurrection to be found in Thy holy presence one day. For this we ask with thanksgiving, in Jesus' name. Amen.